Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we talked a little bit about Jesus as a truth teller, one who offers both blessings and warnings. In all of this Sermon on the Plain, Jesus is trying to communicate what God's heart is like, what God wants for us, what God's kingdom is like. And this is connected way back to that first sermon that Jesus preached in Nazareth, where he focused on God's priorities: good news to the poor, food for the hungry, release for the captives. This, he tells us, is what God's kingdom is like. God's kingdom is a place where those who have little will receive abundantly. This is what God wants. Enough for everyone. And in this passage today, Jesus continues to tell us about the path that we should take, at least those of us who want to be his followers. We are to show the world what God's kingdom really looks like. And you know what? This is challenging. One of the things Jesus says is, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." That sounds good. That sounds pretty simple on the face of it. But you know, the more you think about it, it's got some implications that may make us want to run in the opposite direction, or at least put our heads in the sand. Because doing unto others includes doing unto people that we would really rather not have anything to do with at all. Enemies, thieves, beggars, sinners. Shouldn't we punish them? Shouldn't we judge them and avoid them at all costs? Aren't we supposed to be pure and holy and moral? They're certainly not being pure and holy and moral. We don't want to treat them with compassion and forgiveness, although we would like to be treated that way. It is a challenge to be told to care for people that we do not want to be like. Now, just a parenthesis here. When Jesus says you, he doesn't mean just me and you as individuals. He's talking about us as a group. This is a word for the Christian community as a whole. You, plural, you all of us. Jesus wants the church as a whole to witness to those who are outside our community, to love and to reach out and to yearn for them, to even spend our resources on them. Because most of us are tempted to hoard our resources, not just our money, but our love, our forgiveness. We are tempted to think that we have barely enough to live on, and therefore we have so little to give. And we conclude, maybe, that we should give only to those who are worthy. And frankly, most of the time, that means those who are related to us or that we know well. We'd prefer to give to our children and our grandchildren because we have a clear sense of responsibility for them. We conclude that we will only give to those that we already care about. And I have struggled with this myself, especially since my mom moved here, because I give her my emotional energy, and I often don't feel that I have enough for others, the people that she lives with, or the people who work at her residence. I don't feel I have a lot of extra energy for them, and sometimes I even wonder if I've got the emotional energy for you. It can be easier, you see, just to keep my energy for myself or for my mom, to hoard it as a limited quantity, a limited resource. And yet, Jesus reminds me and all of us to give generously, to give a good measure, a baker's dozen, and not to cut corners, not to hold back, because that will affect what we receive in return, who we will become in the process. Jesus is demanding. Give to others, he says, and give out of love. Don't just love your friends and your family, but love your enemies. Love those who hate you, those who abuse you. Love them and pray for them. Who's your enemy? Or maybe enemy's too strong a word. Who do you dislike? Or who do you avoid? Who do you disapprove of? Are there politicians that you just can't stand? Are there drug dealers or child abusers that you think should be locked up and the key thrown away? Are there people who take and take and take from you and from society, people who do not deserve anything more? And maybe we would call some of these our enemies because they leave a trail of harm in their wake. So how are we to love them? And I've heard staunch Christians say, I can't do it. I won't. I won't love them. I won't forgive them. I won't have anything to do with them. Jesus' commands are hard. And the way of God's grace is hard. And indeed, we cannot do this on our own. We need a Christian community to support us and hold us accountable. We need God's support and guidance in this. We need Jesus' example. Jesus who said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Well, how do we do it? All I can suggest is why not start with prayer? You may not want to pray for someone who has done great wrong to you or to our world, but try. You might say words like this, God, please transform that person. Or God, please transform me so that I can forgive them. Or God, please heal all the harm they have done. These are possible things that you might pray. And keep at it. Don't just pray that once and say, well, it's in God's hands now and I don't feel any different myself. Make this a part of your regular prayers. And if you don't have regular prayers, maybe this is a good time to start. Our God is defined by grace, by giving. And God's giving is amazingly abundant. God has created this world of plants and animals and stars and oceans. God's gifts have great beauty. And God gives sustenance and companionship to us. And God's storehouse of grace is not small. It is, in fact, limitless. God will never, never run out of mercy and salvation and love. So we proclaim that through Jesus Christ, we know that God will give anything for us, even us who have been God's enemies. God has already reached out to us in love, yearning for reconciliation with us, willing to give and give and give again. And those of us who call ourselves Christian, who think we want to be Jesus' followers, we are asked to follow in God's path of grace. We're asked to extend love, even when it's hard and doesn't come naturally. We are asked to not put any limits on our forgiveness and to give to those who ask of us. We are called up to God's level, to relate to others as God relates to us. Now, take note that God does not always say yes to us. God doesn't always say yes to our prayers and our requests. In some instances, according to God's wisdom, the answer seems to be no or wait. And so we learn that the answer we must give to others is sometimes no. For instance, to a family member who begs for money that we know will be spent on drugs, we have to say no. Or we find a different way to give. Maybe we give them our time to drive them to rehab. Or if that's unwise, then we simply give our prayers for them. We who would follow Jesus are asked to take God's path of grace. Because we trust in Jesus Christ, because we have been claimed by God, we, the church, learn to give and give and give again. The knowledge that the kingdom of God is ours transforms us. It changes our attitude to one of love. We can afford to give because we belong to the kingdom of God. Grace transforms even us, even as we resist. For it is God who provides and sustains and gives growth. God is the best resource we have, the resource without end. God's storehouse of mercy will never be empty. May our storehouse of love grow as big. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.